us and such. But it's amazing how so many times her message is right in line with the message that the pastor is going to bring for the day. And I believe that's the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. I trust that the Holy Spirit is guiding me. I trust that I'm listening to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and that as I seek His face, that He's going to provide me with the message that you need to hear. And that message has to do with the very same thing this morning that Jeanette shared. If you've got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, there is a Bible in the pews there along the backs of the pews. We'd encourage you to use that Bible. Matthew chapter 10. While you're turning there, I want to share with you a card that we received from, I beg your pardon, that's not the card. It's the wrong card. At any rate, we received a card from Donnie and Amy. What's their last name? Newsom. The Lord had so richly blessed them through this church Sunday before last, and Donnie is now working. He has a job down in Fayetteville. They're living in Fayetteville. He went in. He interviewed with the company that my son works with, and as he went in to interview with them, they asked him. They said, "Well, you certainly sounds like you have the experience and the qualifications that we're looking for this particular job. What would you be asking for?" A salary. What would you be asking to be paid? And Donnie told him. He said, "Well, up in Tennessee," and I can share this. But he said, "Up in Tennessee, I was making $12.50 an hour." He was working a crane with a heating and air conditioning company, and he said, "But if you will start me out at $11 an hour," he said, "and let me work and show you that I can do the job that you're asking," he said, "I would like to be back up to $12.50." an hour. And so they said, "Well, if you'll just give us some time to talk about it, come back and see us this afternoon." And so Donnie came back that afternoon, and they said, "Here's what we're going to do for you." He says, "We'll start you out at $18 an hour." And he says, we're getting a van ready, so we'll give you a truck. And the gas is in it. You can use it. You'll have transportation. And you'll be making, what, $6 better? Almost $6 better than he was making up in Tennessee, and he just rejoiced, and they made him a lead person. So really, the bottom line is they're starting him out at $18 an hour, but once he proves to them that he's able to handle the lead person position, that will be jumping up even more than that. So the Lord has wonderfully, and they just sent that card and said how much they appreciated what Powhatan Church did for them to get them off the ground. And I do. I love you, and I appreciate all that you've done. And we trust that we'll be seeing them again soon to come and visit with us. They're living down in Fayetteville, but they're still looking to get back, find a place maybe closer to Clayton where they can come and fellowship with us continuously. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Says, "Whosoever therefore," Jesus is speaking, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. In verse 33 he says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we ask your blessing upon this hour. Father, we thank you for these candidates who have come today, Father, to be baptized as a witness, Father, an outward testimony, Father, of an inward change of heart. And some, Father, who are coming to be baptized or have probably been baptized before as when they were younger, but Lord, they just see the need to come and by way of testimony, Father, again testify to this congregation, Lord, that they love you, they know you as their personal Savior, and they've made a personal commitment to you. And so they do that by way of baptism. They know that there's a commandment. You gave us a commandment to be baptized. And so, Father, they come in obedience to thy will. Father, for these that have come this morning to witness, Lord, we pray that each and every one of them knows you as their personal Savior. If the rapture of the church was to take place today, we would all, everyone in this sanctuary, would be present with you in heaven. But Father, there may be one here that has not made that personal commitment. Father, has not seen the need, has in their heart the feeling that by and by, whenever that the time of death comes, and whenever the time to give an account of their life, that they've lived their life sufficiently to be able to credit them to enter the kingdom of God. But Father, help them to realize that there are many who will say, there will be many who will stand before you one day, pleading their good condition before you, and yet you'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because the only way that we ever come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and believe that what He did on Calvary's cross, and the fact that He bore our sins there, and that He rose on the third day, and Father, that He's coming again someday, by our faith in that is the only way we will ever come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank You for this time. We ask Your blessing upon each and every one that's come this way. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 32, the Lord says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." This confession is more than just lip service confession. It's a confession that comes deep from within the heart. It's more than just saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ." You know, there are people who will say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," but there's also, you know, you can say, "I believe in Julius Caesar." What does that mean? I believe in Julius Caesar. What does that mean? Well, he existed, that he lived, that he was a ruler of the Roman Empire at one point in time, that he built a number of buildings and so forth, and the ruins of which you can still go over to Rome. You can visit those ruins. But to say I believe in Jesus Christ, well, what does that mean? Well, to some people, it's lip service. But to other people, when you say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means He's my life. And by this, and by my relationship to Him, it dictates how I live, how I relate to my family, how I live my life in the community. Albert Barnes writes this. It says, "It means to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and our dependence on Him for salvation, and our attachment to Him in every proper manner." In every proper manner. Today, the world expects politicians to keep their religion out of the flow of public opinion, out of the flow of public events, and out of the decision-making process in public works. But whether you're a politician or the garbage collector, a true confession of Christ before men is a daily life's affair. Do you agree with that? You agree with that? A testimony of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a daily life affair? I believe that's true. Christianity is not a religion, it's a way of life. It's a way of life. To put Christ on a hat rack for the sake of not offending the world is paramount to hypocrisy. I want a leader today that without apology to anyone says, "I believe in Jesus Christ, He's my Lord and my Savior," and the person that says, "I will keep my religion to myself," has never met Christ Jesus. For Christ says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." But in verse 33, Jesus says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Adam Clark writes this, "Whosoever prefers his worldly interest to his duty to God sets a greater value on earthly than on heavenly things, and prefers the friendship of men to the approbation or the approval of God." Jesus says, "For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I tell you, to get sold out to this world is a clear ticket to an eternal judgment. To be sold out to this world, to live your life for this world, is to be sold out to eternal judgment. Adam Clark goes on to say, "To appear before the tribunal of God without having Christ for an advocate, and on the contrary, to have Him there as our judge and a witness against us, how can a man think of this and not die in horror?" No man, woman, and certainly no child must ever face the horrors of death without knowing that the heavenly angels are there at the very moment of death to escort them through that dark threshold and into the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not certain this morning where you stand in your relationship to Christ. There may be doubts. about your salvation, but God is still in the saving business, and He'll continue to be in the saving business until such. In fact, even when the rapture of the church takes place, when God takes His church off the face of this earth, God is still going to be in the saving business. He's still going to be pouring out, and unfortunately, it's going to be pouring out judgment. He's going to start touching people's flesh to get them to turn around and make a commitment to Him. But there may be doubts in your mind this morning about your salvation, but God is still in the saving business this morning and beckons, whosoever will, let him come. It has been said that God still speaks to those that take the time to listen. God still speaks to those that take the time to listen. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Being still means to be loosed from all anxiety, to be loosed from all frustration, and to be loosed from all fear. Don't we live in fear today? Aren't we frustrated today? Isn't there a great deal of anxiety in the world today? My, what a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can do for so many today. So many today who are banking their every day on this world. And this world is getting more wretched every day. Be still, Moses told the Israelites in the face of certain death. And he said this, and see the salvation of God. It is good to come into God's house and have fellowship one with another. But there comes a time when we should be still and listen to the voice of God speaking to our own hearts personally and lovingly. In Christ's day, there were many professed worshippers of God, but few who actually heard His message. In Christ's day, there were many professed worshippers of God, but few who actually heard God's message. And no doubt, this is true in our day. Turn with me, if you will, over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I want to show you an example of that this morning. Our candidates come this morning to be baptized as a testimony of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're willing to acknowledge to you this morning that they believe in the Lord Jesus, and that the Lord Jesus is, and they're willing to follow God's commandment in baptism. But then there's others that reject God and reject His Word and reject any commandment that God gives in their direction. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 29, Christ has been speaking of the greatness of John the Baptist. And the Scripture says in verse 29, "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John." John's baptism, by the way, was a water baptism. It was symbolic of the coming baptism of the Holy Spirit that Christ would bring. In Matthew 3:11, John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Hallelujah. I'm thankful that when Christ died and rose again on the third day, when He ascended into heaven, and when He appeared before His Father, that He sent forth that Holy Spirit to take up abode in our hearts. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit lives in me and convicts me. As I start to walk down one path, the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, "Wait a minute, Jim, that's not the path you want. That's not the path Jesus wants to walk down. It's certainly not the path He wants you to walk down." I'm thankful for that. And so this morning, if you've been baptized in a baptismal pool somewhere, it will profit you nothing with Christ unless you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized," Acts 2, 38. And by the way, let me just read Acts 2, verse 38, and just listen to this. Because the Holy Spirit comes into a repentant heart. The Holy Spirit is not going to come into somebody just because they went into the baptismal pool back some years ago. The Holy Spirit comes when we repent and then we're baptized. Donald Gray Barnhouse made the point, and I think it's absolutely true, that a person comes to know Christ Jesus, makes their commitment to Christ Jesus before they ever go into the baptismal pool, because that's what repentance is all about. I was baptized at the age of 12. At 27, I went back to be baptized because I realized my miserable state and God's gracious love and gift of eternal life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says this, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Water baptism is your testimony before men that you have been born again. It is not a guarantee that you will have a home in heaven. And so we're not to put the cart before the horse. I asked a little lady one night as we were ministering at a rest home, after service was over, we gave an invitation, and the little lady raised her hand for prayer. I asked the little lady, "Have you ever made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Oh, I'm a longtime member of the church. I'm a longtime member of the church." And she named the church. But I continued, "Have you ever asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life?" And she said, "Oh, I was baptized when I was just a little girl. My mother always used to pray for me, and all of my brothers and sisters prayed for me as well. Yes, she always took us to church. I've grown up in the church, you know." And I said, "Would you like to pray the prayer of repentance?" And she said, "Yes, I would." And I led her in the sinner's prayer, and she asked Christ to come into her life. Now, this little lady may have given her life to Christ many years ago, but her responses to my questions were classic answers the unsaved give when confronted with the question of their personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, we must know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and we must be indwelled by the power of His Holy Spirit. Church attendance can't save us. Water baptism can't save us. Only a repentant heart open to the grace of God and His gift of eternal life by faith alone in Jesus Christ can save us. And so Peter was absolutely right. Repentance must come first before baptism. And so many of the people that came to John to be baptized were coming in repentance. They were people who were hungry for truth and understanding about life. They had lived so long in spiritual darkness, and the report of the coming of Christ was a great light that shattered the darkness, their despair, their depression, their hopelessness, and their lack of understanding of life. These people were coming to the baptism of John. The question this morning, are we sitting in darkness this morning? Is anyone in this sanctuary sitting in darkness this morning? Have doubts, frustrated, anxiety set in, despair, anguish? You need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Madeline Murray O'Hare, perhaps the most notorious atheist of the 20th century, wrote this. She said, "There is no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there are no angels. When you die, you go into the ground and the worms eat you." Close quote. Mary Madeline O'Hare, who made that comment, and who was often sarcastic and profane, shouting down her religious opponents, wrote some surprising things in her private diaries. Let me quote from an article that appeared in Our Daily Bread a few years ago. She says, after mysteriously disappearing in 1995, Madeline Murray O'Hare's diaries were auctioned off to pay back taxes. They revealed an unhappy human being who didn't trust even the members of the American Atheist Association. She passed this harsh judgment on herself. This is what she said about herself. "I have failed in marriage. I have failed in motherhood. And I have failed as a politician." And yet her writings, close quote, "and yet her writings revealed the heart of a woman that yearned for acceptance and friendship." She wrote 6 times in that same diary, quote, "Somebody somewhere love me. Somebody somewhere love me." In January 2001, Madeline Murray O'Hare's dismembered and burned body was found buried in a grave on a remote Texas ranch along with her son and her granddaughter, whose bodies had also been mutilated and burned. One federal agent at the scene said, "No one deserves this kind of death. No one." And Madeline's cry was, "Somebody, somewhere, love me." This is the cry of hopelessness and despair. And the sad thing about this today is that there are many Madeline Murray O'Hares out there in the world of darkness and despair, and so few John the Baptist. So few people out there sharing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians just waiting on the coming of Christ. Not anxious about sharing their love for the Lord with others. Others who are simply miserable. The people of John's day were living in spiritual darkness And then a great light came forth in the proclamation of John. John said in Matthew 3, 2 and 3, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." Did you know that John's calling to prepare the way for the coming of Christ is the Christian's calling today? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Luke 10, 1, Jesus said, "After these things, the Lord," the scripture says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place." Now listen to this. "Sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come." Do you see? Do you get the picture? These 70 are going out into the communities, going out into the cities, the highways and the byways, and they're professing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that our calling today? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing today as Christians? It is. John the Baptist was preaching a water baptism unto repentance. Christ would later, by his death, burial, and resurrection, make it possible for you and I to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And people came from all over the region throughout Canaan to John's baptism. The poor, the sick, the lonely, the outcast, all came to John to repent and to be baptized of him. And here in verse 29 it says, "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John." How did they justify God? They acknowledged their sin. Isaiah 1:18, God says, Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so the people were coming from all over the region, coming to acknowledge their sin, coming to repent, and coming to put their repentance into action by receiving John's baptism. This morning, you know how wonderful it is to know Marie Carroll told me, she said, "Preacher Jim, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized." Now, Andrew Honeycutt said to his father, "I want to be baptized." And little Andrew Honeycutt's desire to be baptized and for this pastor to make an announcement, "We're going to have a baptismal service," encouraged Marie to say, "You know, I want to be baptized too." And then after that, even Marie's daughter said, "I want to be baptized too." And little Andrew's father also made his commitment and said, "I'm going to be baptized too." From the voice of one young fella, all these others have made their decision to be baptized. Jesus, the Bible says to repent and be baptized. And this morning, they're putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ into action by coming to be baptized. You ought to think about that. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've made your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? If you've been baptized, if you've repented and you've been baptized and you're sitting down doing nothing, what an encouragement are you to other people? What kind of encouragement are you to other people? Jesus is coming soon. And there's a lot of people who are like Madeline Murray O'Hare, living in darkness and despair and anxiety and fear. And yet you could be the very light, that reflection of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to touch somebody's heart, to bring them out of that darkness into the precious light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the peace, the comfort. One of the greatest things I ever received when I gave my life to Christ Jesus was a peace, and was peace in my heart. Was peace in my heart. This morning, maybe you don't have that peace. Maybe you'd like to have that peace. Well, I tell you this, right where you sit, right where you stand, as we'll be standing here in a few moments, you can make your personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given to us a wonderful gift, a free gift. That's what it is. It says, "By grace are you saved." The Bible says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself." It's a gift of God. And if God has given you a gift, you don't deserve it, you can't earn it. You can't come to church enough to win God's acceptance into glory. You have to receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what he said, wasn't it? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I tell you this, the person who ends up in hell, the person who dies, leaves this world, and never receives Christ as Lord and Savior, and ends up in hell, My, what a miserable, miserable state that's going to be when he looks over and he sees all of the folks in glory and he realizes that all he had to do was make a personal commitment to this Lord and Savior. That he always had that gift, that the gift was extended to him or to her as much as it was to anybody else. Are you saved this morning? I mean, you know, some lost people who are not, you know, you ask somebody if they're saved, they don't know what you're talking about. The world doesn't know what you're talking about if you say, are you saved? But I tell you this, if you ask somebody if they've ever made a personal, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people who profess they're a Christian. Have you ever made a personal commitment to Christ? Oh, well, I don't know. Or if you die, are you going to heaven? Well, I'm not sure about that. Let me tell you something. Christ on Calvary's cross made it possible for you to say, yes, I am going. Because the Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what? Thou shalt be saved. These come this morning to give testimony of their relationship to Christ. And maybe you've been baptized in the past, and maybe you've made your commitment to Christ in the past, but what are you doing about it today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour this morning, Father. We thank you for these that are coming to be baptized, Father. We thank you for their testimony. Father, our heart just goes out this morning to each and every one of our members here. Lord, there's so many avenues made available to us to witness on your behalf, and yet, Father, we just prefer to sit home and watch the TV. Father, we know you as our personal Savior, but we could care less whether somebody else sees Christ in us. Sometimes we wonder, Father, whether or not we've ever made that commitment at all. So, Father, this morning as we give this opportunity of invitation, as our candidates come to be baptized, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would touch that heart that's furthest from Thee. Lord, help them to respond today to the calling of the Holy Spirit. They may not come to the altar. They need not come to the altar, Father, but they certainly need to make their commitment right where they stand. And the Bible says that they need to testify. They need to be willing to confess you before others. They need to be willing to stand up and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and He's my Savior. And Father, if they can't do that, then Lord, how sad it is to know that if they're not able to confess you before men, you'll not be willing to confess them before your Heavenly Father. Lord, what a simple thing it is, and how hard the devil makes it for us. Father, bless that one that's furthest from Thee. Father, move upon them. Knock upon their heart's door that they might open that heart and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.